Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 186, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me, and lift me up on high. And what follows, Psalter 186, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 9. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 9. To the chief musician upon Muthleben, a psalm of David. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name for ever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. and thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion, declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hegeon Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Hans and Esther Locke, who may commemorate today that they are married for 25 years. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing. Almighty and merciful Lord God, the great God, the great creator of the heavens and of all the earth, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, and then it is thou who hast brought us together by renewal within the walls of thy house on the morning of another Lord's Day, and then by renewal for another week in the midst of the trials and the difficulties of life as a consequence of sin. Then thy mercies have abounded over us and our children. Then thou hast watched over us in the home, on the way, at work, at school, wherever we were called to be. Then thou hast been our protector and our provider. Lord, may we be humbled under the same. And that for a people that have no merits, Lord, when we draw nigh unto thee, then we have no merits to plead upon, but we have manifold sins, sins which need to be confessed, and sins which need to be forgiven, Then also in the past week, wilt thou grant an impression thereof, sins against the first and the second table, sins of omission and commission. Lord, how good thou art. Then thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death, where also in the past week great multitudes have been ushered into eternity. Lord, wilt thou then grant in this hour, thou knowest, how that we have awoke, how that we have come up to thy house, wilt thou grant that humble and broken heart a little bewonderment of all thy goodness for sinners, and a looking unto thee for thy mercy, Lord. Wilt thou bless thy holy word to that end? May it please thee, by thy free and sovereign grace, to take prepared arrows, arrows dipped in thy love and in thy precious blood, that thou may place them upon thy holy bow, and that thou may shoot them into the hearts of the king's enemies, that they may be wounded upon the battlefield of free and sovereign grace, and then they shall begin to ask, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? Thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee, that by the foolishness of preaching that sinners shall be saved. Thou hast promised to work from generation to generation. May there have come a people up with such a prayer, and also with a longing, a desire for the things of the Lord. Lord, thou hast a people that learn that they are so poor of self, that there are those times that they even need to beg for a desire and for a tear. But thou wast promised to never forsake the work of thine own hands. May it then please thee to instruct thy people, to encourage, to comfort, and also to correct them, to grant those further leadings. We need to come to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son as the way to the Father by the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, wilt thou so richly dwell amongst us in this morning hour? May thy special blessing, thy special favor, and thy special presence be experienced. We commend thy church all over the earth unto thee. The established churches do uphold the persecuted church. So many places and so many countries. Remember those in prison. Remember their dear ones. May they be given to experience in special ways that thou wast everything in thy hand, and that the enemy, the persecutors, can do no more what thou permitteth. Remember the Jewish people. Remember the land of Israel at war. There is so much death, so much suffering, so much mourning, so much distress, many overwhelmed. May the war be used that a people may be given to understand and to experience that the Messiah has come, and that he sitteth at thy right hand for the welfare of a Zion. Remember all mission work, Lord. Then we commend unto thee a father and mother whom on this day may commemorate and remember that thou wast remembered them for 25 years on their journey together in holy matrimony, and then also in this day, then their thoughts shall multiply in special ways to uphold, to remember them with their children and grandchildren. Wilt thou help as they continue their journey outwardly, but above all for their never dying souls. O Lord, do remember and bless all the family circles. When there are no empty places, may there be more appreciation and humbled under all thy goodness. And when there are those empty places, do remember and uphold all the mourning ones where those empty places remain so empty. May all the callings be sanctified. We commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted. We may thank thee as far as we know that there is no one in the hospital. That is also thy work, but Lord, thou knowest that there are those that are suffering with pain, difficulties of the body, weariness of the body, weakness of the mind. All the circumstances are known unto thee. Those times when they are so overwhelmed with their loved ones that they know not how to continue, but may they be given to bow their knees. The psalmist of old has declared, when my soul was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. And then the psalmist was given to speak that he was brought very low, but then he was given to look unto thee, to be his refuge, asking for a time when the righteous may gather round to share the blessings I have found. But, Lord, may all these difficulties, the way of trials, be used, that it may be sanctified by thy Spirit, to become troubled with our sin, and the need to be pardoned of our sin. Lord, do it then for thy honor and for thy glory. We commend unto thee all the elderly ones that have come to the evening of their life. Above all things, do save their souls. Lord, we now humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Send help from the sanctuary, strengthen out of Zion, open thy precious word, and may thy word go forth with power divine, go from bench to bench, and go from heart to heart, from dwelling to dwelling, or for those who cannot come up to thy house, grant thy indispensable blessing. Lord, do it for thy free and sovereign grace. Do a great work amongst us and our children in the latter days of the earth. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 17, the first four stanzas. O Lord Most High, with all my heart, thy wondrous works I will proclaim. I will be glad and give thee thanks and sing the praises of thy name. And what follows, Psalter 17, the first four stanzas. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 9, and thereof the verses 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, and a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Our text words speak of the Lord as a refuge for the oppressed and for the troubled. With four thoughts in the first place, the need of this refuge. Secondly, the safety in this refuge. Thirdly, the trusting in this refuge. And fourthly, the promise concerning this refuge. The Lord as a refuge for the oppressed and troubled. The need, the safety, the trusting, and the promise concerning this refuge. Thus first, the need of this refuge. Beloved congregation, a Psalm 9 is a Psalm of David, and it is a Psalm of praise, of confidence, of trust, and of prayer. That it was the vehement desire of David, and it is clear from this Psalm that he was still in difficulties, in trouble, persecution, but then he was given to declare. We read four times in the first and the second verse that word will. Does not mean that David of himself was enabled to bring that true praise, but it was his vehement desire, and then it is also implied, oh, it is true. When the Lord would grant deliverance to him, he would even be given to praise the Lord more greatly and with more freedom, but already in the circumstances, because he has experienced. He has mentioned it in verse 4, "For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right." How has it been with us, congregation, this past week? A few exercises concerning that praise. Because when the Lord worketh by love, and when we have impressions of all his mercies and his goodness, and who the Lord granteth those mercies to, then it shall be a desire that he may be praised that worthy name, because Psalm 9 follows the 8th Psalm, and there David was given to say, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then I hear souls say, but I have so many difficulties, so many trials, pain, suffering, crosses. Oh, if I would be delivered, then I would have such reasons to praise the Lord. But then even under difficulties and under trials, must we not say what in Ezra has declared in Ezra 9 verse 13, that the Lord punishes us less than our iniquities deserve. And it is clear from this solemn that David still had many troubles by the beginning of that praise. Then in the solemn, then we read four times that word, oh, in the verses 1 and 2, and then also in verse 6, then it is addressing the enemy, and also in the closing two verses, then we read, O Lord, and in verse 2, O Most High. Then we read in the subscription to the chief musician upon Methlebon, a Hebrew word. The meaning is not so clear. There are some that believe that it refers to the death of a son, perhaps Goliath, Saul, Absalom. Others believe that it refers to the instrument with which this song shall be sung, and others concerning the tune. Then in the first 5 verses, we read that David is given to praise with his reasons, and in verse 6, when he is given to look upon his God, that Almighty God, and what the Lord has promised, then he received such a freedom that he was given to address the enemy even in his thoughts. Oh, thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. Maybe those times, those are special times when a troubled and an oppressed and persecuted soul is given to look upon this above the circumstances, upon his Almighty God, and given to embrace what the Lord has promised, although still in the midst of difficulties, no solution, then there are even those moments that such a soul may speak to the devil in such a way. Then in verse 7 and 8, then David is given to speak of the blessings concerning the church, who the Lord is. And now in our text, then David is given to speak of the Lord as a refuge. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And then we must not misunderstand it. Must not think, congregation, that the church, that the living church, that only seeks the Lord and comes to the Lord when they have difficulties and trials, and alas, many times it is so, that people need trials, that they may be drawn and driven to that refuge. It is all to their shame. But there are also many times, those times, that they come to the Lord to be in his presence, to experience his communion, to receive an instruction and encouragement, and to sing his praises. But our text words speak of a refuge for the oppressed and the troubled, because the church especially learns the value and the strength of that refuge when there are great troubles and great storms. We could give a few examples in a natural way for our children. In some places in the country, not here so much, because there have not really been wars fought, some rebellions. But if we come to the eastern part, upper and lower Canada, the USA and other countries, then there are forts with places of refuge that we can visit. Many times children are taken on school trips to visit those forts and those castles sometime upon a high place. And then when we visit such places, then we can admire what they have built and how it has been a defense. But it is very different when we are in war and the enemy is coming, and that the family circles in the distance may see such a castle and such a fort, and that we may be given to hasten and receive a place in such a strong fort where it is very difficult for the enemy to come, then such a fort has a very different meaning than when we just visit. Could give the example of a flag. Canada also has a flag. But in wartime, also in the Netherlands, when they saw soldiers and tanks flying the Canadian flag, then such a flag had much more meaning than when we live in a time of peace. And so it is also that the Lord teaches His people concerning that place of refuge, the value, the strength, the need of that refuge. And then we read in our text words that David has used two terms. And then he has spoken of the oppressed. And that comes from a Hebrew word that means to be crushed. Thus that is a deep oppression. Overwhelmed. Impossible. And then the other word, a time of trouble, that comes from a Hebrew word that means to be very tight. The Dutch, our Dutch Bible, they have translated that word as benauwdheid. Our older people know what that means. That means boys and girls. That means to be very full of anxiety. Thus then there is a great need for a refuge outwardly, because as a consequence of our sin in our covenant head Adam, then many troubles have come upon the earth. In the context, then David is given to speak especially of persecution. Which time it was is not so clear, whether the Philistines, whether when he was persecuted by Saul for righteousness' sake, or by his son Absalom because of his sins. Ah, the troubles in this life can be so manifold. Think of those that are sick, those that struggle with pain, weariness, the crosses, the burdens, the troubles concerning our daily bread, one for our family circles, unpaid bills, do not know how it can continue, so we can even come up to God's house with all those cares, we are called to lay them all before the Lord. Then we can speak concerning the temptations and the sins, those that are struggling with great temptations and with addictions. And may we be given to do what our hand finds to do. Thursday evening we have heard of the many dangers that we are surrounded about. What a trouble it can be. Then we can speak of contrary providences when things go so different when we have expected unfulfilled promises. The troubles are manifold. And that is the portion of us all. We shall not escape them. Maybe boys and girls and young people, when we are young, when you have not so many troubles, and then it is maybe your hope that with me it shall be different, that I shall have much happiness. We hope that the Lord grants it. But let us remember what Job has said in Job 14, verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is full of trouble and a few days. And then what a blessing it is. That also concerning all those troubles, that the Lord may be a refuge, that he may be your helper, grant deliverance. What a privilege, what a blessing. The Lord has said, open wide thy mouth, and I will fill it. And in that respect, the Lord is also a refuge for the children of men, that he cares for his creatures. And how oppressed that those troubles, how oppressing those troubles can be. But now there are also other troubles and other oppressions that we must speak of, because we do not only have a body, but we also have a soul. And we are traveling to eternity. And let it not be congregation that with her outward troubles, and when providentially the Lord grants answers upon prayer and he grants amazing deliverances, that we make not a foundation of it for eternity. Because when the Lord works, then it goes not only about deliverance, but then it goes about the Lord, as we read in this psalm. Then we need the Lord. Then we become a begging and a praying people, that the Lord may remember us with the favor that he bears up for his people. Oh, then in the first place, it is true, when we may be given to behold that those gifts, that they come from the Lord for an undeserving people, reasons for praise. But now a time of trouble, a time of anxiety. Do you know of other troubles, congregation? Beside the outward troubles. And that is a trouble concerning our soul. Anxiety about our sins, about our unthankfulness, full of anxiety concerning the law of God that demands perfect obedience. Anxiety concerning the justice of God, where the Lord in his justice, he must punish each and all of our sins, temporal and eternal punishment. all anxiety concerning the infirmities within, full of anxiety, troubled, oppressed, where we learn more and more with all our efforts, with all our works, we are a guilty sinner still. We could speak of unanswered prayer and a backsliding church. It is a blessing when that backsliding church, we read thereof in Song of Solomon chapter 5 of the bride with the bridegroom. The bridegroom was on a long journey concerning the kingdom, and he has returned covered with the dew of the night. And he has asked the bride to open. But that bride was lazy and slothful. She had put off her coat, and she did not get out of bed. And then the bridegroom in his love put his hand to the hole of the door. It was covered with myrrh. And then he has left. And then the bride has come to her senses. Oh, then she was full of anxiety, troubled, oppressed, because the bridegroom has left. And then she was no longer lazy. Oh, then she went through the streets, even seeking the help of the daughters of Jerusalem, that she may be restored in that blessed communion. Our second thought, the safety in this refuge. That word refuge, in the margin, it refers to a high place. We read of such a high place in Psalm 61 of a soul troubled and oppressed, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my soul is overwhelmed within me, and then we read in the second verse, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Thus this refuge, that is a place of safety under all circumstances. Not only a refuge in the time of health and prosperity, but also a refuge in a time of trouble. We read the first time of the word refuge in Numbers 35, where we read of a man that has killed someone not on purpose, accidentally, and then the Lord has appointed 6 cities of refuge where such a man may flee for his life's sake. And when he entered that city, it was examined. Then he was safe. And upon the death of the high priest, then he was free. Moses has sung in a song in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge. And then in the scripture, then the second person of the divine Trinity, then he is specially referred to as a refuge for his people. Then in his kingly office, pointing to their protection, the Father's providence, the one person never excludes the other two. Then Christ as priest, where he is paid for his people. And then as prophet, where he gathers and instructs his church by the Holy Spirit. Thus that refuge that is the Lord, capital letters, in this chapter many times, that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but especially in the Scriptures, then Christ is pointed to as that refuge under many emblems and types. Oh, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 3, as the apple tree is among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat under his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. In Isaiah 32, verse 2, there Christ is pointed to as a hiding place against the wind. In John 10, as the good shepherd for his sheep. Oh, in that sheepfold, then they are safe. The wolf shall not enter, although they may hear the howling of the wolf. In Matthew 23, verse 37, then he speaks of himself as a hen that is gathering his chickens under her wings. Thus a refuge for the oppressed and those in trouble. And what about the sin of that people? When that people come to him as a refuge, does the Lord then say, I shall look over your sins, not consider them? That cannot be. Because God's justice requires that all of our sins must be punished. Has that become real in our life, congregation? All of our sins from our youth, the Lord cannot overlook one. He must punish them all in his wrath. And how can David now say that the Lord shall be a refuge for the oppressed and in times of trouble? It is possible, because for the Lord Jesus Christ, taken all the sins of his people upon him, when he became the Father's servant, come upon this earth, then there was no refuge for him. Gethsemane and Gabbatha and on the cross of Golgotha. He has borne the punishment. He is hung between the heavens and the earth. He has cried out, it is finished. And to that end, it may be proclaimed, congregation, that there is a refuge so soul-saving and so God-glorifying for the chiefest of sinners. Then also in this morning hour, then the King, then the white flag of peace may still be extended concerning that place of refuge. What is now needful? The work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, concerning that place of refuge, the message the King proffers, peace and pardon to each and everyone in the church in this morning hour. Thus all may come, but by nature none shall come, because we are seeking our refuges other places. the world, another one in their religion, another one perhaps in a change. But now the wonder that by the free and sovereign grace of God, by the loving and irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, there shall be a people that shall come. They are taught by the Spirit the need for that refuge. They are taught with all the refuges that they have sought, with their tears, their reformation, their works, that they are a guilty sinner still. And now that refuge is not only made, but in our text it speaks of the covenant promises that the king of that refuge, oh, he is the refuge himself, that people, that they shall come. That is our third thought, the trusting in this refuge. Let us first sing of Psalter 154, the four stanzas. O God, be merciful to me. My soul for refuge comes to thee. Beneath thy wings I safe will stay until these troubles pass away. And what follows, the extra collection today is for the Bethesda debt reduction. Psalter 154, the four stanzas. the Lord as a refuge for the oppressed and for the troubled, the need, the safety, and now thirdly, the trusting in this refuge. And then we read, the Lord also will be a refuge. Thus the Lord has not only provided that refuge, the Lord not only is the refuge, but the Lord also will take care that that refuge is filled. Not one hoof shall be left behind. All those that are written in the book of life, they shall come. The one more drawn and the other one more driven. And then we read, and they, thus that makes a separation, does not say all people, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that word know in the original, that is not only a knowledge with our understanding, but that is a knowledge in the way of perception and in the way of experience, that there is a relationship with the one that we know. And then we read, and they that know thy name, and the name of the Lord in Scripture, that refers to different matters. It refers to the essence of the Lord, who the Lord is. It refers to his attributes, and to that end it is necessary for the church to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I read in 2 Peter 3 verse 18, John Newton has written in a certain place, for a soul, knowing the Lord, the more that they may know him, the more they may trust him. And the more they may trust him, the more they shall love him. And the more they love him, the better they can serve him. Thus knowing the name, the essence, by the work of the Holy Spirit, we have mentioned, in the way of experience, a knowledge of his attributes, his justice, his mercy, his wisdom, his truth, his faithfulness, concerning that refuge. And then thirdly, and then further, thus his essence, his attributes, but also his persons, to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When the Lord works, then we shall experience those works. But to be led into a knowledge of their persons, and they that know thy name, then we read in our text that word will. We read the word will in verse 9, will be a refuge, and in verse 10, will put their trust in thee. That is the benefits that Christ has merited for his church. It hinges not on the feeble free will of man. Oh, man by nature, oh, he desires a refuge that he does not have to go to hell. But his heart does not go out after the Lord. But for the true people of God, then it goes, because we read also a separating word. We may examine our hearts 2 times in verse 10. We read that word, thee. That's what it goes about in the life of a true child of God. Then they need, they desire the Lord, his favor, his blessed communion, to be in the presence of him in that place of refuge. And then we read, put their trust in thee. Does not say in our text the strength of that trust. For the true church of God, then many times they are given to examine their hearts concerning that faith. Whether it is the true faith, the true trust, or whether it is only temporal, whether only built upon temporal deliverances, they need to know. Because in the true work of the Lord, then two need to know. We need to know that the Lord also knows of it. And then the third, then the devil shall also know of it. The living church, they shall experience that the devil is real. But now in our text, does not say the measure of faith, does not say that only those shall have a place in that refuge, that very strongly trust in the Lord. It simply says trust, but it is a true trust. A few weeks ago, then we have heard out of Matthew 13, the verses 31 and 32, even if of that mustard seed, and then in different places in the New Testament, it speaks of a faith as of a mustard seed. And those that may be given to trust in thee, they shall find a place. Oh, what beautiful examples we have of poor and needy ones, longing and desiring hearts that have come to that place of refuge. It is true, different examples that Christ has tried that trusting and that faith, and then that people did not become angry, but they remained at his feet. We read in John 6, verse 68, that the disciples have said, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Then there are those that come a trembling, as that woman with the issue of blood. There are those with an Esther, with such a great need, so oppressed in times of trouble, that they say with Esther in Esther 4, verse 16, so will I go to the king, if I perish, I perish. And then further, for encouragement or forethought, the promise concerning this refuge. And then also our text words, they speak in the context of Zion, his church, which he shall never forget, what ye shall remember. Many texts that declare that it is so. Think of Psalm 138 verse 8, where the psalmist has said that the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy endureth forever, forsake not the work of thine own hands. In Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, he that which has begun a work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Precious promises for his people, but not to rest upon it. People, we need a place. What do we need? We need to receive a knowledge of that refuge. Boys and girls can understand it. We do not have a knowledge of that place, then we cannot flee. Then secondly, we need to flee to that place. And the third place, to receive a place in that place of refuge. But now David has added, because concerning that trust in thee, oh, it is true when it is lively, then it is good. But when unbelief starts to speak as the upper hand, do you really think you are one of the Lord's? Do you think that place of refuge is for you, so black and so vile? And then concerning that trusting, sometime can even go so far that you question whether there is a God. Do you not really think that you are one of his? And that for such a people there can be place in that place of refuge, because then surely there is no trusting. When the devil comes with his questions and assaults, then how troubled that people can be concerning that trust. And there are times that people tell the Lord, Lord, if thou wast now never really begun, it is all of self, emotions, some convictions, but if it is not the work of the Spirit, ah, Lord, I cannot miss thee. I need thee. I am so oppressed with the burden of my sins. Wilt thou then begin and convert me as thou hast converted all thy people? And now David, he has made a further separation to describe that true people that are given to trust, because he has added, for thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. Thus a further description of the true people of God, of those that seek thee. And the Lord as a people upon the earth that know what has become most important by the work of the Spirit, by the uncovering work, and also in beginning flowing forth out of the knowledge of the name of the Lord, then they have become seekers, true seekers. Oh, it is true. Many times have to confess, not as diligently and urgently as they ought, but if you would cut open such a heart, then it is a seeking soul. Not in the first place for the gifts, but for the Lord himself, to be pardoned, to be restored, and to experience that blessed communion to come in that refuge, to receive those tokens of his favor. It is in the context of the Lord Zion, as we read in verse 11 and in verse 14. And then David, concerning the praises, is clear that he is still in trouble. The difficulties, the persecution is still present. But when he is given to meditate upon whom the Lord has been and is at the moment, then the hope for the future. Because the Lord, although it is true in Isaiah 49, the verses 14, the church can speak very unadvisably with their lips, where they speak, the Lord has forsaken and my Lord has forgotten. But the Lord has used the example of a mother and her sucking child that she may forget, yet I will not forget. I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand, and thy walls are continually before me. And then even in his difficulties, then he is given to exhort the church, saying, praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion, declare among the people his doings. And then it is clear in verse 13, still troubles, have mercy upon me, O Lord, but with the hope and expectation concerning that place of refuge, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Congregation, how is it concerning that refuge? Because we do need a refuge. We are traveling to eternity. There is but one step between us and death. It has been realized in the denomination the day of yesterday. We're in the congregation of Brandt, Elder Wally Verhey, elder for many years, suffered a massive heart attack, and so it became eternity. One step between us and death. We are still upon seeking ground. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, then concerning that seeking, the prophet Isaiah has declared in Isaiah 55, the verses 6 and 7, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Ah, with the Lord, there is mercy. There is still room in that place of refuge. But we need to find a place. Oh, people of God, how is it with that refuge? How is it with the oppression and the troubles? Let there never be a resting outside of finding a place, the work of the Spirit by true saving faith concerning that refuge. Because I read in John 14 verse 6 that Christ has declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me, to the Father, but by me. And then David has added, concerning the church, for the needy shall not always be forgotten, the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Comfort one another with these words. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, who was able to declare the greatness, the safety of that place of refuge, a place wrought out the work of a triune God, and there is still room in that refuge. 'Tis thy work, Lord, to fill that refuge. To that end, well, to grant the application, those that are not oppressed and those that are not troubled about their lost and wretched condition, about all their sins, wilt thou work that in this day by thy Spirit. And for that people that can be so oppressed and so troubled, ah, Lord, may they be given to look unto thee, ask for instruction, that thou may take them by heart and hand and grant them a place in that refuge. Teach them how that refuge has been made through the meritorial work of thy dear Son. And then we have heard of David, that it was his vehement desire that thy great name would be praised in Zion, and that after his deliverance from persecution, that he may join the throng. Ah, Lord, work lovingly in the hearts of young and old. Wilt thou remember when we hope to meet with the Confession of Faith class, may they also be included in that number. Grant traveling mercies. Wilt thou keep us from an unprepared and unexpected death, where we are only one heartbeat away from eternity. May we be given to hasten for our life's sake. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 159, the stanzas 1 and 2. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. And what follows, 159, the stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.